We start our third and final hour. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. This is the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I am in Southern California. The championship game this evening is in Northern California. And we will hit on that in just one moment. If you're on hold, stay there. As promised, though, right now we are joined by the new head football coach, Ed Houston. He was named Cougars head coach last week. Second winningest coach in West Virginia history. He led West Virginia to 7 bowl games in 8 seasons. Previously served as the offensive coordinator at Houston. They opened up their season, Houston v. Oklahoma. That's the way to kick things off. Dana Holgorsen is my guest. Dana, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on. You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's great to visit with you. I got to get caught up, though. So you were introduced last week. What have the first few days as Houston Cougars head coach been like? How's life for you these days, Dana?
Well, it's a little busy. I finished up the season in Orlando, you know, with the Mountaineers, and usually just stay there and kind of decompress for a few days after that's over. But things started getting kind of crazy and ended up over in Houston talking to a lot of the University of Houston brass, and we got a deal done. So I was excited about going back to the University of Houston and back to the city of Houston as well. That's kind of my second home, you know, so to speak. So the transition's been good. Anytime you switch jobs, it's tough, but because I know so many familiar people in Houston and at the University of Houston, it's been pretty smooth and pretty fun so far.
Dana, you know, you kind of touched on this, but the fact is you had a really good thing going on at West Virginia. You were having a lot of success, and I know you've been in Houston before, but you're not going to leave West Virginia for any old job. So aside from the fact that you've been there before, you've got some relationships already, what was the opportunity there in Houston that excited you the most?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you know, I'm leaving the great state of West Virginia with my head held high. We, you know, left the program better than when we got it, you know, transitioned them from the Big East to the Big 12, and we've had a whole lot of success and won a lot of games, you know. So I'm really proud of what we did there, and West Virginia is always going to be, you know, dear to me, and met a lot of good people who I've developed lifelong relationships with, and I talked about the student athletes that did such a great job, coached all kinds of really good players and really good people. So I'm very proud of that. But you're right. You know, it had to have taken something special for me to leave. And University of Houston is special to me. I think there's just a ton of potential there. They got great leadership. You know, Chancellor Couture is a rock star. She's been there 12 years and really got the University of Houston going in the right direction, you know, and Chairman Tillman Fertitta, don't need to tell anybody who he is and what he's done for the city of Houston. So, and Athletic Director Pesman as well. Those guys are rock star leaders, and the University of Houston has a ton of potential, and I know we got a lot of work to do, but we're going to get it where it needs to be here real quick.
Dana Holgorsen joining us, the new head coach at Houston. So when you talk potential, having been at Houston and you had time at Texas Tech, you know what the potential in Texas is when it comes to talent. So what about potential? How special can the program be going forward?
Yeah, it's all about recruiting, I'm spending this week hiring coaches. I'm in San Antonio right now for the National Coaches, AFCA National Coaches Convention, and there's, you know, I got a bunch of job openings, and there's 10,000 guys here that are looking for a job, so that's kind of fun.
But what's that like?
Oh man, you got to run through the lobby and get to your room real quick. So, but and there's so many good candidates out there, it makes it tough. But the state of Texas is the number one state in the whole United States that when it comes to high school football and high school players and high school coaches. So, you know, very, very familiar with the state, and, you know, very familiar with the city of Houston. So I'll spend the next 3 weeks, once we hire coaches, at getting out all over the state, especially in the city of Houston, to recruit as many good players as we can. We don't have to go far. They've been good to me with budgets as far as being able to hire people, but the recruiting budget isn't going to have to be very high based on the fact that we don't really have to leave the city.
Yeah, that's nice. Listen, you were coaching in the Big 12, and now you go to a G5 school. When you look at the way college football is set up right now, do you feel like you've got a fair shot at winning a national title at a G5 school, or do you expect to see either Houston go to a bigger conference or maybe the expansion of a college football playoff?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows the answers to that. I mean, you got a lot of answers, Jim, and I don't know if you have the answers to
even
what
I don't.
What, Well, when it comes to the college football, I mean, there's just so many unanswered questions right now. I think there's going to be a lot of things happen in the future, and we just have to position ourselves at the University of Houston to be as good and attractive as we possibly can, not only for the American Athletic Conference, which, you know, we refer to it as the Power Six Conference, and then but what happens with the CFP as well. You know, it's tough, you know, for a group of five, as well as Central Florida has done in the last 2 years. It's tough to get into the top four now. We realize that, but I do think it's not done, and they're going to continue to talk about it, either expanding it to eight or expanding it to 16. I think something's going to happen, which is going to, you know, allow somebody like Central Florida or the University of Houston to be able to get into that thing once we have one of these good seasons that we're going to have.
Dana Holgorsen joining us for a few more moments. You know, Dana, every single coach I have on the show these days talks about culture, the importance of developing the right culture, a winning culture. How would you describe the culture that you want in your football program?
Well, I think you know, just hard work and as gritty as you can possibly be. I think that fits the University of Houston. I tell you, I went to the basketball game last night. You know, Kelvin Sampson, I haven't really got to know him yet, but the way he coaches his guys, it's all about grit and it's about hard work and it's about playing hard for your city and about playing hard for your university. And I tell you, he's got those guys going in the right direction now. These guys are 15-0 and flying up and down the field and diving for loose balls and hitting the boards and having a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean, there's an electric atmosphere there, and you know, that's what we want to do within our football program, make it a fun atmosphere and an exciting brand of football to be able to go out there and win games, but do it the right way with a bunch of class, but play hard and get after it and do it for your city to win football games.
Yeah, I know Kelvin Sampson a little bit. You guys are going to get along just fine. He is a hard-nosed dude, really hard-nosed. And
old
they play
school. Yeah, right. No,
he is old school.
What I love about Kelvin, about 2 minutes into it, the jacket comes off, and about 2 minutes more into it, the tie comes off.
Right.
He's a hard-working ball coach now.
Hey, so let me ask you this. When you look at the program right now, where it is, do you feel like you're rebuilding something, or do you feel like you're building on something?
Building on something. It's very similar to when I took over West Virginia. They had won, you know, 9 games 3 years in a row, coming off a couple of you know, BCS appearances in that decade. So winning tradition, and that's what the University of Houston has too. Now you're going to win 8 to 10 every year for what they've won. You know, they've been 10 wins in the last decade a couple of times, won a BCS game, a CFP game now, I guess, Big Six, and then but just average good wins. So that winning culture, they expect to win, they expect to be great. It's what Chancellor Couture has set for the whole entire university, and achieving that across the board. So just gotta work hard to get it to the next step, which, you know, that wasn't facing anything any different than what we did here the last 8 years at West Virginia. Gonna do the same thing at Houston.
All right, so finally you got a lot on your plate and you're focused on your thing, but what about tonight's game before I let you go? How about a quick thought or two? How do you think that's gonna play out? What do you expect to see this evening in Santa Clara?
I don't know what they played three out of the last 4 years. You know, so just exciting games now. I mean, both of them have kinda changed a little bit what they do, but Clemson has done a great job of getting better players in there, and two of the best teams in the country. They have been all year, and it's going to be exciting. I don't know, flip a coin and see who makes a play at the end, but nothing's more popular than what the CFP's got going on right now, and should be a lot of fun to watch.
Dana Holgorsen's new head football coach at Houston. They named him last week, and he was the second winningest coach in West Virginia history. Dana, great to have you back on. Thanks so much. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Have a great day. Dana, good talking to you. That's an amazing hire, honestly. I mean, I understand that he has roots, but for him to leave where he was and to take that opportunity, that is a great, great hire. And he's going to build on that thing. There's no doubt. Led West Virginia to bowl games 7 times in 8 years. He has roots in Houston. He was previously the offensive coordinator there. He knows that state. He knows his way around. He knows how to recruit that state. That is a really, really good hire. He said tonight's game is a coin flip. You know, not so much when you look at the people setting the odds. 5.5, 6, depending on what you get. Who do you like? That tells me one thing, that he has got a ton of respect for Clemson. See, 5.5 to 6 is not a coin flip. 5.5 to 6 is a legitimate favorite, a serious favorite. So that tells me how much he respects Clemson. And you better. All right, so we're open the rest of the way. What do you want to hit on? 1-800-636-8686. My man Silk's taking some, as always, because some of you have nothing better to do than to hate. That was a really good phone call. And then it started to kind of peter off a little bit and digress, so I took care of it. That was a good, straight call, except when he was flexing once again about the fact that he's a teacher, which is fine, actually. Hell, I mean, that's a thankless job, right? Where would we be without quality teachers? Hey, Rome, who do I like in tonight's game? Well, I'll put it this way. One sideline boasts a class act coach who is easy to root for. The other will have a complete bag who boasts the most undisciplined bunch of knobs. I'm looking forward to watching Dabo outcoach the Nictator for 60 minutes. You travel to the West Coast to play a championship. You got to go with the coolest coach in the NCAA. As long as this game is filled with clips of Saban shaking his hands and yelling at the ground after spiking his headgear, I will sleep well tonight. Two reasons Clemson takes tonight's game: Coach Dabs and the sweet West Coast locks of Lawrence hitting the bay. Clemson by 4. Shane in SLO. Hey, agree or disagree, I'm glad the guy's got a take. Who do you like tonight and why? How do you think that game's going to go? I mean, you give Nick Saban, you know the old rap, you give that guy that much time to prepare for anybody, he's not losing. Yeah, but he has, and he can, and he might. Can Dabo and Clemson go in there with a freshman at quarterback and get it done? I don't know. Tua came off the mat last year, and he got it done. Love that matchup. I can promise you this. I can't guarantee a winner. I can guarantee a really good game. We're going to get that. Also, still ahead, I want to double back and talk some more about the Cowboys and Seahawks. What the hell was Seattle thinking? Pete Carroll, right? I'll be straight. Going into that game, I like Seattle a lot. Two reasons. You got Pete Carroll. He's been there before. He's coached there before. He's had success on that big stage. Number two, Russell Wilson. I trusted Russ Wilson a hell of a lot more than I trusted Dak Prescott going into that game. And Seattle was running the hell out of the ball. Except for one problem. They couldn't run the ball in that game. So if you've got a veteran coach, and you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and what you're doing is not working, wouldn't you trust that veteran coach to adjust and then put the football in the hands of one of the best to do it? But that's not what they did. They continue to stick to the script and run it directly into the line. And it got him beat. I mean, come on, Pete, what the hell were you thinking? How do you not give your quarterback a chance to win that game? But he didn't, and it got him beat. I want to get into that, too. All that still ahead, and your phone calls when we come back. We are done with the interview portion of the program. Phone lines open, 1-800-636-8686. NFL playoffs, wide open. Anybody can win this thing. Anybody who's still left, I can make a legitimate argument for. Title game tonight. Who do you like and why? Your phone call is coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Football is about to get a whole lot more fun this postseason with Skittles, Snickers, M&M brands, official sponsors of Super Bowl 53. Pump up the party with some sweet surprises and post-touchdown treats. Do it. Hawk is getting annihilated. It's Adam Hawk. Two reasons. One, he called in sick. And number two, he called in sick after he posted over the weekend that he went for a 12-mile run, but with an average of 12-minute miles. In other words, he effectively walked it. And then he called in sick. And not only sick, but he made it sound like he was on his deathbed. Like, hey, I'm really sorry there, boss, but I stood up in the shower and I can't stand up. I'm really nervous. I don't want to be overly dramatic. And then he hits me up. He just hit me with an email. Yeah, the podcast schedule is changing. I'm on my way to urgent care. Dude, you make it sound like you had a leg cut off or something. You ran 12-minute miles or you had an amputation. Dear Rome, Hawk called in sick with the flu? I imagine a cold or a flu bug is really tough in SoCal. Up here, we get the flu for fun. Hey, Hawk, toughen up, all right? Signed, your hero, Phil Mickelson.
You know, toughen up.
Tyler in Shredmonton, immaculate immune system. That's how he signed his email. Tyler in Shredmonton with an immaculate immune system. Hey, Hawk, toughen up, all right?
You know, toughen up.
This email reads, hey, Denlesk, you mad? Roll Tide. Sorry your life didn't turn out the way you wanted. Signed, Lee in Bama. That was Bama's attempt at a clapback. Hey, Denlesk, sorry your life didn't turn out the way you wanted. Signed, Lee in Bama. Oh, Lee went there. Damn, Lee. Damn, Lee. Dude, somebody pull Lee off of Denlesk's. He's had enough. Back away.
Please.
So, Hawk and Silk are taking a lot of heat. At the Miano Pan tweets, always a letdown when you announce Silk and it's not the fake Silk.
Come on.
Brian in Rochester. Jim, did Silk Broad just have a stroke live on air? Silk, you good, brother?
Bruh.
Bruno Garrett 1 tweets, Jim, great call by Silk Bra. The substitute history teacher at Huntington Beach High. But just like those announcers, he will hear this year from the Board of Education. No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure, Silk! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! No tenure! And then there's Hawk. More Hawk. Hawk, this is what you get when you post. This is what you get when you're out there bragging on the fact that you went on a 12-mile run, averaging 12-minute miles, and then you don't show up for work. This guy writes, this is Craig Headley. Hey, Hawk, I'm 64 years old, 5'9", 190. Went on my training run Saturday, 11 miles, 88 minutes. How the hell can you call 12 miles at 12 minutes per mile pace running? A 64-year-old guy killing Hawk. And rightfully so. Hey, Rome, it's simple math. 12 miles at 12 minutes per mile is about 50 miles an hour.
The simple math says that's 50 hours on hold.
Signed, Hawk. Roland in Pittsburgh is back. And one last one from old school Scott in the Bay tweets. Hey, Snag, Hawk ran for 2.5 hours straight. Wasn't he the guy who had leg cramps after running a 5K when he first started with you? He'll be out at least a week, or he'll roll in tomorrow doing his best Paul Pierce impersonation. Regards, Scott in the Bay. What you're missing, the most strategic thing about Hawk getting sick is he got sick right before his wife gave birth to a child. So he's adding time. Like, I totally see Hawk working. Hawk's like, hey, boss, I'm going to be there for you. I mean, I'm not going to pull an Alvin and take 14 weeks off. Dude, I'm going to take like 14 hours off when the wife gives birth. But then he's kind of like building it in. It's like the old auto trick. Yeah, I'll take $500 off that and then build it in somewhere else. This is what Hawk's doing. He's building in time someplace else. So he's not going to take the additional time for the birth of his child. He's just going to build it in with the old 4:30 text. Yeah, Hawk, you're already up at 4:30, all right? Don't act like you woke up and sent me this text in the middle of the night like, hey, man, I don't know what happened. I'm really sick. You're already up that early. I see you working, Hawk, and I don't like what I see. Shake it off, man. Come on. Hit that thing with some vitamin C. Or better yet, take care of yourself in the first place. Wait till you have two kids and they do get sick. Then that thing gets passed around the house and you'll be taken off 6 weeks at a time. Yeah, I don't know, boss. Got a cold. Yeah, I know, Hawk. You've had a 6-week cold. Come on, man. Work through it.
Shake yourself.
Let's see. 1-800-636-8686. What do you like here, Keith? You're running the phones. This guy literally has been trying to get through the entire day. He wants a piece of Cody Parkey. What the hell? Let's go to Chicago. Ryan in Chicago. Ryan, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Romy?
Good. Great.
So, pretty heartbroken by this loss last night. For the first time in nearly my whole life, the Bears looked like a respectable, possibly balanced team. And Cody Parkey has to go and take that away from me. Now I'm mad that we have an offensive head coach that's supposed to be some kind of genius that scripts the first 10 play of the games and then puts the offense on training wheels for the next 3 quarters. I'm upset that we have a quarterback that looks like he's coming to his own in the fourth quarter, only to be ruined by a kicker that practices hitting telephone poles in the offseason. What do you expect to happen when it comes to the playoffs when you're trying to kick a telephone pole the whole offseason? You're going to hit a damn pole. And it shows itself over and over again that he cannot do what he's supposed to do when the time comes because he's practiced the wrong thing, Romy.
I don't know. Okay, I hear you. Ryan, thanks. Hey, but to be fair, it's not like he showed himself over and over again. It's only happened 5 times, but it happened 4 times in 1 game. I'll tell you what, it's kind of hard to imagine, right? Like, how the hell did they lose that game? How did Chicago lose that game? They did not turn the ball over. They turned Philadelphia over a couple of times. They held Philadelphia to 42 yards rushing. Mitch Trubisky threw for over 300 yards. How did they lose that game? Hell yes, that one hurts. I'm just saying that although Parkey has responsibility and didn't execute and did not do his job, he is not the only reason they lost that game. There is plenty of blame to go around. And I think this guy checked himself when he made that phone call, Ryan did. But if you're one of those guys who immediately reached for the phone and threatened this guy and F-bombed this guy and went on and on about this guy, it says more about you than it does him, honestly. It says more about you than it does him. And I'd love to say to you that Parkey felt worse about that than anybody else, but I know that's not true. I could find plenty of Bears fans who felt a hell of a lot worse about that than the kicker did, and the kicker felt horrible. Difference is, he handled that thing with some class. Again, you can't miss 10 kicks in 1 year like he did. You can't miss that kick. Man, now you know why coaches ice kickers. It's like the most annoying thing, right? You know why they do it? Because it works. It worked there, didn't it? 1-800-636-8686. So some of the Bears fans obviously do not have this guy's back, but most of the guys in his locker room, if not all of them, did. All right, we're going to cruise right through this thing. One last segment, but it's a fat segment. The last segment and your last chance to get through. Who do you like tonight? Clemson or Bama? And why? Are you into the matchup or not? And why? I want to talk about Seattle. Why did they not adjust? What were they thinking? What was Pete Carroll doing? What kind of play calling was that? Not that the Seahawks have ever had an issue with play calling before in a big game. Let's revisit that when we come back. But first up, here is a bottom-of-the-hour sports update for you. Rich Ackerman anchors this. Last segment. Let's finish strong. Welcome back. If you're on hold, stay there. I will get a telephone call or two in this segment. Do not hang up. If you're on hold, it might be your call. Do not hang up. I want to go back with a final thought or two about the weekend in the NFL. As exciting as it was, it's hard to know who had a worse weekend, the refs or the head coaches. I'd actually say the refs, because at least some head coaches had good weekends and made good decisions. But the refs, I mean, damn. Is that really the best that the league can do? Let's be honest. Half those replays of catches and touchdowns are really just them flipping the coin, right? But I'm not here to crack on the refs. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to praise the Cowboys and to crack on the Seahawks. Because as good as the Cowboys were on Saturday, Pete Carroll was that bad. And my beef is not with his wackiness.
Here's this little pop-up kick, and that could not have been any easier. Fielded by Beasley, and that was a gift.
Wasn't much of a chance, was it?
That is hard to explain. It's not as if Dallas didn't have anybody back there. The little drop kick, maybe he got more of it than he expected, but this is the easiest catch in one of the biggest moments for Cole Beasley in his career.
Credit, Fox. That was wacky, but it wasn't whack. Sebastian Janikowski was injured. Onside kicks have been nearly impossible to recover this season. So you got to change things up. I mean, I get that, I guess. I respect it, I guess. But what I don't respect was Seattle's stubbornness when it comes to that run game. Chris Carson, 13 rushes, 20 yards. Mike Davis, 4 rushes, 10 yards. Rashad Penny had that sweet 28-yard run and then promptly lost 7 on the next play. Here's another way of looking at Penny's game. He had 28 yards on that one run. He had 29 for the game total. The Seahawks, as a team, had 24 rushes for 73 yards. So what I'm saying is, maybe at some point, when you're averaging about 3 yards per carry, even less than that if you throw out Penny's big run, maybe you change up and you let Russell Wilson do something other than turn and hand it off. Maybe you look at what the Cowboys are doing and say, damn, that front seven is legit. Guys like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch are fast. They hit like trucks. Maybe we try something else. In other words, maybe when you're running headfirst into a brick wall 19 times, you do not do it a 20th time. But they did, and then they kept right on doing it. And they didn't change until it was way too late. And situations like this, for the real truth, I usually turn to Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence. He was the guy who called his shot before the win over New Orleans. He was dropping even more knowledge after Saturday's win also.
We ran and hit. You know, you hit the wheel out of somebody. You hit the, you know, power out of somebody. I mean, they ain't going to want to run no more. You know, the first time we played him, I feel like he was running the ball harder, you know, faster, stronger. And, you know, we was laying that wood today. So, I mean, you know, hats off to the defense for coming to play.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Hats off to the Cowboys defense for coming to play. And to Ezekiel Elliott, and to Dak Prescott, and Jason Garrett, and Rod Marinelli. Because they flat out outplayed, outhit, outworked the Seahawks. And they survived that hideous injury to Allen Hurns. I mean, that was pretty disgusting. I'm not going to show that here. But suffice to say, that's the kind of injury that can ruin a team for a game. How often do you see a team lose a teammate like that? And especially a teammate that well-liked. Everybody loves this guy. And then go out and lose that game because they're rattled. How often do you see that? The answer is a lot. But not Saturday. Not these Cowboys, man. They were tough. Tough. These guys had a losing record in November, and now they're a win away from the NFC title game. It's pretty impressive. You know what else is impressive? Holding Seattle to 2 of 13 on third down. Pete Carroll said after the game, that's what decided that game. And he's right. But he's also wrong. Because a way to get better on third down is to be a hell of a lot less predictable on first and second down. But they weren't. So yet again, let me go back to DeMarcus Lawrence for an explanation as to why Dallas was so good on third down. He said in a word, quote, intimidation. And then he added, quote, if you hit somebody in the mouth, they're going to look the other way. And I also feel like we were closing the pocket pretty well. End quote. So Dallas had a plan. Seattle didn't. They were predictable. Predictability is death in the NFL, especially in the playoffs. Predictability gets you beat. To quote my man Bill Cowher, strengths get you into the playoffs. Weaknesses get you out of the playoffs. And Seattle's weakness was their play calling. And it's certainly not the first time, is it? Wideout Doug Baldwin was asked after the game if he was pleased with the offense yesterday.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I you know, to be completely honest with you, we hear the play call, we run the play. You know, we do your best with the play call that's given to you. So, you know, in those moments, You don't think about it. You're just doing whatever you have to do to make that play successful. So I can't answer your question right now.
Yes, you can. You just did. And I can. And the answer is no. I know that's a punishing rushing game that has been Seattle's key, their calling card all year long, that they've got the best rushing offense in the league. And it's an amazing thing given what their offensive line has been like the last couple of years. I know it turned around their season. I know Carson had that monster game against Dallas earlier this season, but he wasn't having it on Saturday. And this is a different Dallas team now than it was then. They showed that on Saturday. Seattle never adjusted. Instead, they ran themselves into the playoffs, and then they ran themselves right out of the playoffs. And Dallas couldn't have been happier about that. And they had every right to be. And Seattle's got no reason, no excuse. What are you doing? You've been there before. You've got a quality quarterback in Russ Wilson. Man, put the ball in his hands. Put the game in his hands. What you're doing is not working. Why are you still doing it? What point are you trying to prove? Pete Carroll was asked about the game plan afterwards. Here's what he offered up.
It's really disappointing that we put out such a miserable first half in football. To be that far behind the sticks with penalties and all that in that kind of position, you know, it's really hard to play the ball. And so that's ridiculous. You know, that's basically, I thought we held up all the sticks that were there and made and all that. It's really disappointing.
Is that what you expected from that guy? That's exactly, I knew he'd say that. And then when a reporter tried to follow up for clarification, Pete offered this. And then when the media flack said one last question for Pete Carroll, here's how he responded. When asked what he thought about Dallas's chances going forward, Carroll had this to say. When asked what he thought about Doug Baldwin's response to the question of what he thought about the offense, Pete had this to say. When asked if he could go back and do anything differently, what would it be? Carroll offered this. Anything else? Hey, Pete, you got a piece of gum I can bum off you? Trident or Dentine? How about bubble yum? ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, back in the day, Alvin, we used to have Pete on the show quite a bit. In fact, I want you to pull a soundbite from when he was with USC. When he was killing it with the Trojans, I remember asking Pete if he had any interest in returning to the NFL. This is what Pete said on this show back in the day. When asked about what it was like to knock heads with jungle favorite Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll had this to say. And finally, I asked Pete Carroll about Jim Harbaugh's infamous appearance in the Smack-Off back in the day. The fact that Harbaugh showed up in the Smack-Off and said, I don't really have any smack today. Pete, what did you think about that? Let's go to Denver. Dan in Denver to the phones. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
What's up, Rome? Thanks for the vine. I like how you had to tell Silk when to end his mediocre call. Hey, Silk, here's a tip. Next time, hang up immediately after you dial 1-800-636-8686. We'll all appreciate it. And I like how you checked yourself as a history teacher. Rome, I appreciate all the teachers in this country. But, bro, you're a substitute teacher. You turn on videos and make sure kids don't wet themselves while the real teacher has a sniffle. You're as much a teacher as a chiropractor is a doctor. And, Jim, I'm on board with the Chargers running the table here. But quick question. If the Chargers win this thing, where's the parade going to be? If you want the full LA experience, put that thing in the middle of the 405 rush hour. Whatever happens, just keep that parade away from Carson. No one wants to see one of those inflatable floats get shanked and pop. War rolled tide tonight. Out.
It's not bad. Dan in Denver. In fact, this is how far, the bar has been lowered. I'm going to rack that call. The bar is on the ground. That's where the bar is. The bar has been buried 6 feet beneath the ground. Dan in Denver just got racked for that clapback on Silk and the Chargers. Teacher, substitute teacher. I mean, he's got a credential, right? If they're letting him in a classroom with some 20 or 25 kids, and he is, quote, standing in front of them and lecturing and offering up lessons, I can't imagine that the Huntington Beach School District would allow somebody to do that, without a credential. So therefore, Silk Bra is a teacher.
Bra.
Let's try Boise, Idaho. Terry, you made it in. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. Welcome. I am welcome to be in the jungle for the first time. Appreciate it.
That's not a good call. No.
No, you're not.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So I said to Keith Arnold, you know, how do you think Terry's going to do? He goes, probably not so well. But I mean, he's got potential, but probably not so well. That went much worse than probably not so well. Hey, Terry, how are you? Hey, Jim, welcome. I'm welcome to be in the jungle. Yeah, I know, Terry. But how about I welcome you to the jungle as opposed to you welcoming yourself to the jungle? How about that? I got something for Rick in Buffalo, but first, let me welcome myself to the program. Hey, Rome, welcome to me. I'd like to welcome me to the show. I'd like to welcome me to your program, Rome. Oh, well. Hey, Avi, if you can't play that and that Pete Carroll thing jacked up your computer, just play some more Pete Carroll. This guy's jacked
Thanks,
up.
Jim. Welcome. I am welcome to be in the jungle for the first time.
Yes, you are welcome to be in the jungle for the first time. And probably the last time, Broham. I am welcome to be in the jungle the first time. All right, now this guy's choked up before, but he's done this hundreds of times. He'll be fine, but he might have a take on this quickly. Bodie in Pearland. Hey, Bodie, how about that Bubba welcoming himself to the jungle?
What a scrub, man. That's a new one we can't have. Self-gloss, add that to the no self-gloss list. But, Bubba, I want to talk about these Texans, man. What a pitiful franchise. Now, you know me. I've been calling since they've been a franchise here in Texas, and I never liked some bitches. And the only time they're going to be good is when I say they're going to be good. So when you hear me start calling.
All right, Bodie, thank you very much. Sorry about that, Bubba. I ran out of time. My bad. That's not on you. Skip the gym and get high-energy workouts with Peloton. Take live studio cycling classes from the comfort of your home with NYC's best instructors. Ride with thousands of other Peloton riders across the country on the interactive leaderboard. Track your own metrics over time. Continue to beat your own personal best. Head to onepeloton.com and learn more. Onepeloton.com. Again, I've got a Peloton. I absolutely love mine. My thanks to Dana Holgerson, Jaylen Smith, Charles Robinson, Bodie, who just said about the Texans, quote, I've hated those some bitches since they came to the NFL. Man, they were terrible, by the way. See you tomorrow. We're out.